You're listening to the Star Wars Splash Page, Comics in Review.
It is episode number 183, and we have a new comic that's an old comic, because it was a comic that came out last week that we didn't get in time to record episode number 182, so we decided, you know what, let's not let a good comic go to waste, and we'll use it for episode number 183, which is this episode, which is what you're listening to, which is why we're going to be talking about Bounty Hunters number 3. And I should not have inhaled so dramatically because now I think I hurt my throat. Hi, Jeff.
Geek me all knowing box sets stay open May 4th. I'm hoping we're gonna be hot as before. Cause Rand looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
I'm exhausted after listening to all of that. Yeah, it's kind of a throwback show. We used to review the comics a week past their release date. Marvel has, like you said, Marvel has not seen fit to open up their review copies again. So we are forced to read it like the hoi polloi.
Well, that's good. It keeps us in touch with the little people.
It does. It does.
I'm kidding. Please, nobody tweet at us. It was a joke.
Well, Matt was joking. I was not. It's actually one of my favorite jokes in Caddyshack. Ahoy, Polloi.
Jeff, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
That's what I keep telling myself.
Exactly. Exactly. I love Caddyshack. I actually watched Caddyshack a couple weeks ago again. So the humor is still very toilet, but it's still very funny.
It is.
And Ted Knight, of course, was an American treasure.
Absolutely. I heard him referred to as having the best possessor of the best slow burn in comedy.
Which was?
No, just him. Just he had the best slow burn in comedy. That's true. You could see his anger just rising.
You could literally see the steam coming out of his ears like a cartoon.
Yep. As evidenced by, do you know what a gopher can do to a golf course? Okay, that's enough about Caddyshack. We're here to talk about comics.
If I kill all the golfers, they're going to put me away. Not golfers, gophers. Oh, got it.
Throw away the key. We don't need a reason.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. So, Bounty Hunters number 3 we're going to talk about. But before that, I'm sure we have just tons and tons and tons of news to get through, right?
Let me back up the news truck here. Beep, 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 beep. No. We have some reprints finally have made the pipeline. Coming July 29 is the second printing of Bounty Hunters number 1. Yay. And then also coming July 29 is the second printing of Darth Vader number 2. Yay. And of course, don't forget, we have a new Dr. Aphra on July 22nd, which is issue number 2. But on July 21st, we are getting dun dun dun. The Dr. Aphra audio drama.
Oh, yeah.
Written by Sarah Kuhn and narrated by a full cast. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, they have a great interview with Sarah Kuhn on StarWars.com this week. There's a link on the Twitter feed and on the Facebook page. But, essentially it's an expanded adaptation of her first appearance in Darth Vader Volume 1, Number 3, which I looked on eBay today. That book is going nuts. Yes, it's going crazy. I mean, just like the regular first printing of issue number 3, there are people asking like $70 to $100 for it now. You know, because
are they getting $70 to $100 for it?
Well, I didn't look. Yeah. So, but I mean, like in other copies, like there's a Salvador LaRocca 1/25 variant edition cover. You know, people are asking like, $200 to $300. You know, one guy's asking like $780 because it's slabs. I was like, all right, dude, simmer down. This is crazy. And I think the reason why is because A, we have this audio drama coming out, but you know, there is a lot of rumor and scuttlebutt that she may be getting a live action series on Disney Plus, which I am so here for if that's the truth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would think that would be just totally awesome beyond compare. So, but, so yeah, you know, if you have an extra copy of Darth Vader Volume 1, Number 3, and you want to part with it, you know, you might want to, you know, get it graded or slabbed or put it in a Mylar bag and put it someplace safe and, just monitor how it's going. I'm not getting rid of my copies because I love them too much. So,
right.
Which is why when I die, you get all of my Star Wars comics. So.
Hooray!
Yeah, totally.
That's assuming I outlive you.
Oh, you'll totally outlive me. So that's
by
just the
five
way.
5 minutes.
At least. It'll be like this Jefferson Adams moment. Jefferson still lives. Next day, Jefferson dies.
So. I figured out the other day with my current financial situation and my retirement plan, I can retire about 3.5 minutes before I die.
That's about on par for me. You know, because it's funny because somebody actually asked me, when are you going to retire? I said, well, let's see, I've turned 50. I'm supposed to, I guess, technically retire in 15 years, but I don't see myself retiring until like I'm 70 or something. So, and then I figure you and I will probably give up the podcast when I turn 85. So we'll probably turn it over to some young bloods, let them do it.
Right. But that's only if you still have your faculties about you, because if you've already lost your mind, we're definitely keeping it going.
Okay. Fair enough. That's like a plan. You heard it here first, folks. We're going to make it happen. So also making it happen, Jeff, is Bounty Hunters number 3. Been a long time since we had some new
Bounty
Hunters.
Been a long, lonely time.
Yeah. Well, if memory serves, I believe Bounty Hunters number 2 was the last book we got before everything sort of went pear-shaped.
It was, and I had to go back and read it because it had been so long since we had read it. I started reading number 3, and I was like, wait, I'm lost. Let me go back.
Don't worry.
There's even one section in here I had to text you about. I'm like, am I missing something here? Or
yeah,
so we'll get to that.
This is a case where, you need, before you read this issue, you might want to fire back up issue 1 and 2 just because it's been so long. However, that said, elevator pitch review. Awesome, vibrant, so much action. Bosque is a badass. Valance is meticulously troubled. Brilliant color work in this book. Arif Prianto has just delivered a master class in coloring and compliments Paolo Vanelli's artwork really, really well. And writer Ethan J. Sachs, of course, threw me for a couple of loops, one of which I think was intended, one of which was not intended. But everything worked, I think, very well. So that said, let's dive in. Bounty Hunters, it says Galaxy's Deadliest, Part 3, As the Scorekeeper Wills. As we said, writer, Ethan Sachs. Artist is Paolo Villanelli. Colorist is Arif Prianto. Letters are by VC's Travis Lanham. The main cover was by Lee Bermejo.
Bermejo.
Mm-hmm. And then there is, of course, an Empire Strikes Back variant cover by Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Niraj Menon. And then there was another variant by Michael Golden, which I paid money for because it's an awesome variant of Bosque, and it looked cool. Production design by Nick Russell. Tom Groneman is our assistant editor. Mark Panizia is our editor. Of course, the book, as always, is dedicated to the late Alan Harris, who passed away earlier this year. From Lucasfilm, we have Robert Simpson, the senior editor, whom you could actually see on last week's issue of the Star Wars Book Club, the little web series that our friend and yours, Kristen Baber, hosts. Creative director is Michael Siglane. The Lucasfilm Story Group, Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And from the Lucasfilm Art Department, Phil Shostak. All right.
This thing opens up with.
Let's bring everybody up to speed. The crux of the story is simply this: it stars Valance, Bosque, Boba Fett, and T'Onga. And Nakano Lash betrayed the bounty hunter crew she led by killing their client, the heir of the Mourner's Wall Syndicate. This incited a war between the Mourner's Whale and their rivals, the Unbroken Clan. Now, years later, Lash has reemerged, and the price on her head has attracted hordes of hunters, including the remains of her old crew, Bosque, Boba Fett, T'Onga, whose brother Tongor died as a result of Lash's actions, and her cyborg protege, Valance, who found coordinates Lash hid at the gravesite of her parents. Now Valance's droid has Lash's location, and Bosque isn't above killing him, the droid, or Valance to get it. So
yeah, he's pretty indiscriminate when it comes to.
Well, you know, it's for a Trandoshan. It's all about the hunt, and the goddess. Yep. The goddess favors those who successfully complete the hunt. So what we do is we open up, and we are on the graveyard planet of Galmarae.
And Intergalactic Bane is overlooking and talking.
Mm-hmm.
What is his character's name? It is...
Get ready. Come on. You got it.
Urus.
Yes. Yes. And Urus, of course, is the serpentine species. And I wrote this down in my notes, and I don't have my notepad here. But yes, he is of the same species that you see in the prequel trilogy on the Jedi Council, where you have the big snake.
Okay, yes. I remember that. And he's got a couple of extra hands.
Yeah, it's always good to have forearms. Better to have forearms than two arms. I have there many the occasion has arisen where I have thought to myself, seriously, I kid thee not, forearms would come in real handy right now. So that was usually when I was wrestling my two small kids and trying to keep them from running off. So while walking the dogs. So
exactly. Yeah.
But two hands, two kids, leave it at that. So Urus is talking to Sifak via a holo message. This is Sifak. So this is your plan, Urus, to just wait around until you ambush Valance's ship, the Broken Wing. Just get ready to pay me, Sifak. Every bounty hunter in the sector is after Nakano Lash. Play it right, and we can get paid by both the Mourner's Wail and the Unbroken Clan. Editor's note, that's never a good idea to play two rival criminal gangs against each other.
I can't think of a time that's ever gone poorly.
Just ask Han Solo. Yeah. Tazu Leech, good to see you. Time is money. And then Urus says, you should have hired me earlier then, instead of waiting for that cyborg freak to turn you down.
Great comeback. I love it.
It was. And then we hear a kaboom. And that's Urus. Shh, that was an explosion. Someone else is after Valance. Damn it, I'm going to lose out to another guild bondsman while you're... And then we cut off, and Urus looks down, and he sees Valance's droid. You know, he looks through his rifle scope. Looks like I'll be having a conversation with Valance's droid. And then, of course, we turn the page, and...
We're back at Rusan.
Rusan. And this is... This is a little interesting, you know, because
this is designed to remind us where we are in the timeline.
Exactly.
And we're reminded, we got an older man, gentleman talking to a hooded figure here.
Yes, whom I think is a woman. And I have thoughts as to why that might be a woman. And we will discuss them when we get to pages 18 to 21. But for right now, she's definitely got a Red Skull vibe going on from Avengers Endgame. What news, my old friend? All bad. Word is Bespin is under Imperial control. So soon after the Rebels' defeat on Hoth. That's not our problem. Well, how about a bombing on Chorgad? Mourner's Wail crew killed Unbroken Clan soldiers. That sounds like more of your kind of problem. No responses to my messages? Not yet. Have patience. I don't have the luxury of patience for many reasons. And then the guy says, you sound weary. Let me see your face.
And see is in quotes. So I'm assuming this guy is blind.
I think so. And then he says,
sudden touches, and he says, oh, I'm so sorry, which is just what you want to hear when somebody touches your face.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, I love you. I've missed you. Oh, sorry.
the hooded figure says, it doesn't matter. Just keep transmitting to Bylert Valance. He should have figured out the clue I left him by now. And from there, we cut to back to the graveyard planet. And she's saying, what's holding him up? And then we have Bosk is just setting everything on fire. I love this image of Bosk just standing in the midst of these flames.
And he's again,
setting fire to everything.
And this is why I am singing Arif Prianto's praises so high. Just, you know, the colors in this book and the way that Paolo Villanelli has drawn these things. I mean, you've got the backgrounds, you've got, you know, the poles, if you will, with the writing, with the Orabesh etched into them. And you've got these amazing vantage points of Bosk. I mean, we're looking at him from behind and we see all his blades. But you know, you can still see the menace in his eyes and, you know, and that weirdly hypnotic, toothy grin.
Yes.
and then there's flame and explosions and, you know, and then of course, you know, we start the page with the hooded robe, you know, saying, what's holding him up? And then boom, we know why. Oh, Valance, not like you to cower. Come out and reminisce about the good old times with your old pal.
And I love Valance's response. Truth is, I never liked you much, Bosk.
And it's a perfect little inset because it's almost like a parallelogram.
Yeah.
And it's angled out. So you immediately know that, all right, he's coming from somewhere else. So he's got the high ground because he paid attention to what Obi-Wan
was teaching,
said.
Right?
Exactly.
And Bosk says, you know, one way or another, I'm getting those coordinates to Lash's location, even if I have to rip them out of your droid's processors. I don't need to keep you alive for that. And again, you were talking about the way Bosk is drawn and colored here. I mean, he looks downright animalistic and just, I wouldn't even want to begin to count the teeth.
Oh my God, look at that. Right there. This is great. And the way his eyes look, it's just, good Lord.
Yeah, and then there's even another better image of him, I think, later on, even more terrifying later on.
I mean, because, Bosk is such a badass.
So. He is. He's my favorite bounty hunter, and he's one that I always thought was cool. I've never been scared of him. Until now. And I think this is great. And this is exactly, what I wanted from this book, is to see more of him in his element.
Exactly. Very much so. And then we turn the page, and of course, Valance is hoofing it out of there. And again, the boom, boom, kaboom. Great lettering here. Digging this lettering. And you see Valance running. The cape is flying. He's got a gun in his right hand. And then something, kaboom. And you just see Valance in profile and in silhouette. Oof. Goes flying, and then again, thump, joom, joom. Damn it, that droid should have been back with the broken wing already. I could use that ship's firepower right about now, and he could, because his blaster has been split in two. It has been, Jeff, cleaved. It has been
cleaved in twain. And he says, I walking scrap better fix my palm blasters.
And I was like, wait, what?
Of course not.
What? Look at that. Valance.
Let's try something else.
Valance is going full Iron Man here.
He is. He is. And well, he's trying to, but it's not working. And all of the boss has come out and grrr as he's throwing he just starts throwing stuff at him. He's like, you almost hit me. And then this image of Valance jumping out with the light behind him, I'll have to try harder. I love this image.
Look
he's
at that
silhouette.
Look at that perspective. He's coming down atop Bosk's head, and you see it from just like literally right over Bosk's right shoulder. In the, obviously Valance is in the light, if you will. And that awesome, very primitive lettering behind him and the rock, the Zash.
Yes, and then the next page, it's continues. We get a crack spelled K-R-A-K, which is great, as he just lands one.
And just, ugh! And just a massive right hook on the Bosk by Valance here. And just the way the page is drawn, Paolo has got these flashes and these lines, and then Arif has done these shades of black and yellow that meld into it. And it's just, you can tell this is like a percussive punch. And then if you look further onto Valance himself, you can see the speed and rapidity of which he is moving, because even the red of his eye, it's like a vapor trail. It's like lens flare. So it's just, and this is an awesome full page. I'm really digging it.
And continues into the next page where we got we've got four images, but I love this middle image of Bosk jumping, pushing off of Valance, doing a flip. And he says, I guess I better stay out of your reach as he's doing it, which is just great. And he pulls a sword out as he lands, his sword from the halberd behind on his back. And he says, I should have killed you all those years ago. And he just looks straight up like a snake right there at the bottom of the page. And from there, we cut. So we don't know what's going to happen there. We cut back 2 years ago, the Star Skimmer and Nakano Lash's ship. And this is the mission that Lash betrayed them on. And we have Tungor talking to his sister. And we know what happens to him. And Valance is trying to hurry him up. And Bosk is just sort of watching. And Tungor tells the sister, he says, you don't want to join us for one more payday before you settle down. He says, no can do. We got branded. I'm getting married. And Tungor's reaction is, I'm so happy for you. She's got strong bloodlines. We'll make a good mate. And Tonga says, see, this is why you're still single, brother. Now go look. Looks like Valance is anxious for a turn at the comm. So, again, we got some nice LGBTQ content in Star Wars, but not really heavy-handed. It's just another part of her character.
Yeah, and it's naturally done and very fluid. And I think we find as we will advance into the series, it's very germane to the story. Which it was a nice little unexpected surprise. I really enjoyed that a lot. But then you go into the next panel, and you've got Bosk just kind of
being a bully. He's kind of being a bully. He's being an a-hole here, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's kind of being like the older guy, you know, just, you know, hey, do it this way, do it this way. So, and he's really kind of just being, yeah, he's being a bully to Valance.
He really is. And being a really kind of a generic bully as well. I get that that's the culture, his culture that he grew up in, but I think I would prefer him to be a little more creative with his insults.
It would be nice. You would think that he would be. So,
because he says, I don't want to stand around so you can talk to some lover. And Valance is protesting. He says, don't lie to me. I can smell the stink of your fear. That new synthetic skin is going to make her love you. You're still more droid than man under there. And that's what you don't want to say to Valance.
No, you know, and then I think that's why Bosk said it.
You know, exactly.
So Bosk is not the nicest person there is.
Maybe one day I'll cut you open and see for myself as he walks off.
Yeah.
And so Valance gets on. He's, you know, I love this shot of him fixing his hair and everything. And then we get I can't tell if this is a flashback.
No, it's not a flashback. I think he's calling her. This is who he's trying to send a message to. So
she is running back to answer the phone.
Exactly. Essentially, it's, you know, the Star Wars equivalent of, you know, hey, you know, you got the payphone is for you. Come answer. So does that make sense?
Yes.
I bet there are probably people out there who don't know what a payphone is, though, do they?
Well, let them Google it.
Okay, definitely. And so, yeah, he's clearly calling Urala vacant now. And this is why I think the hooded person we saw on Rusan might be Urala Vega. I could be wrong. And of course, you know, Valance says, wait, hold, cut transmission. Do you wish you, I said cut transmission. And
you're getting there and
she realizes that he hung up.
Being understandably upset. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, disappointed. I don't want to say she's upset, but, and then, of course, you know, then we go to the next page, the transmission ended. And of course there's Bosk, just, you know, Bosk is going to Bosk. Ha ha ha, that was pathetic. Weak. Knew you'd be too afraid. And then slam, I'll show you fear. Careful. We live and die as the scorekeeper wills. And I am favored over by my enemies, by the great goddess. You know, then we get, you know, the stray dialogue balloon. Don't make me shoot both of you. And it's Lash.
Because I'm already down one hunter on this crew, and so get your butts inside the briefing room. And that gun she's got is huge.
Gargantuan. Oh, my gosh. Look at that thing. That's nuts. That's crazy. So, and I think we decided that Lash is a Nautilin, I think.
I believe so. That would make sense.
So, I could be wrong, but I think she's a Nautilin. So, and then, of course, gives us a nice little some background, you know, foundational stuff, you know, because Bosses, if you need an extra blaster, I used to partner with a guy by the name of Boba Fett, a real tough guy. You'd like him. Contact him at a ranger rendezvous. And then Valance asks, who's the bounty? And she says, no bounty, an escort job. Scion of the Mourner's Wail needs some handholding for an assassination. Dangerous to get entangled with a syndicate, but 100,000 credits make it worth the stretch. That's a lot of credits. So here's the plan. Listen up.
And it's interesting that they don't know Boba Fett by name, because my understanding was his reputation was sort of known throughout the galaxy.
Well, you also have to remember that Boba Fett was his own best PR.
That's true.
So
very true.
And yes, so remember, we are not entirely, you know, this is still set in the aftermath. At least this flashback is, I think, this is still set in the aftermath.
Right. This is after
Revenge of the Sith. You know, so we're having to, you know, to deal with, you know, with Boba Fett still making his name, you know, and getting his bones, because, you know, he's still running around with the crew from the Clone Wars, or at least elements of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So then
on the next page, we get the image I was talking about of Bosk, that top left corner.
Good Lord.
Is the scariest thing I've seen in a long time.
He does look truly fearsome and gruesome. And then and he's getting into this, obvious, you know, and, you know, because, you know, we have the inset here from Lash, you know, and try not to kill one another. And then we go, now, arr, gonna rack up a lot of points with the goddess when I rip your head off. You know, and he's got a blade. You know, he's got one of the blades out from off his back. You know, trying to cut his literally cut his head off.
Well, but, we get a whoosh,
and a whoosh, and a shook, and a zzz, arg, my arm nailed you right in the nerve circuit, says Bosk. So, and it's just
to see, I paid attention to every time Joystick was upgrading your implants, and Balus says, "I don't need both arms to take you down." And again, he gives him a kick, and that kick is massive.
Oh, totally. You know, it's. Those cybernetics, I think, are really helping. So, but
and the balance is, how many points is the scorekeeper going to give me for taking you down? And again, you know, I love the way these are, because we've got four insets in front of one large, basically full page.
Yeah, and the way and,
balance, you know, knocking boss block off at the bottom.
Yeah, and the way those insets are done is, you know, it's not linear. You know, it's done sort of like almost like if it's like, you know, like a flower pattern. And I think that conveys the motion and the activity of the action here.
Exactly. It's really, really wonderfully laid out here.
I really like the design. Yeah. And then, of course, we go to the next page and we have a more traditional linear design, you know, with, you know, three main panels with an inset panel. But then, you know, Bosk is down. Thank God, finally. And then, of course, and I love this line from Balance. I should kill you right now. The guild would never know. And now you get to live and remember who beat you. And he, you know, and he binds him with the cuffs. And of course, now Valance is finally calling his droid. 9-4-L, you better have gotten the broken wing ready, you walking pile of scrap. Oh, great. Then we turn the page and, yeah, no. Where's your cranking head? And then he looks up and, you know, of course, you know, he sees Oris flying away in the cockpit. Come on, little droid, spill your secrets. He's got the droid head hooked up, and that's
what Rusan fits a profile. God's his bounty will put me on the map. And is Oris, that mask that he's wearing, looks like, was it Darth Bane that wore a mask similar to that?
It really was. Okay. Yeah. So, but you know, clearly it's just a, you know, it's just a breather. And then, right. And of course, we cut to a new cutscene here. Smugglers refueling station in the Kessel sector. And, you know, these just, you know, this was a dramatic segue.
Yeah, we're just kind of, jumping around here.
It's okay, though.
I thought this was related to something we'd already seen, and that's why I was having trouble with it.
So, but yeah, well, you know, thankfully, you know, we had the little informational box up there, you know, and we got, you know, we've got a ship that's come in, and, you know, hurry up and finish loading the cargo on board. We're late getting the spice to the distributors. Camdek is not known for his patience. And next thing you know, choom, choom, choom. What? Yarr! Zap, zap. I'm afraid the shipment is not going to arrive on time. And we turn the page. We'll take that spice off your hands. And I'm loving this look. You know, this is just very bold.
Yes.
She is, you know...
But we don't know who this is, right?
No, I don't know who she is. Yeah.
And this, I texted Matt. I was like, okay, so on page 18, are we supposed to know who this is? Because I think I'm confused. And I thought I'd forgotten something. He said, nope, rest assured. He said, let me go back and read it again and make sure I know which one you're talking about. He said, yep, nope, we haven't seen her before.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
If we have, then we are really forgetting it. But
so we know that these are the Mourner's Wail crew that's being attacked.
Yeah.
And this guy says, do you think the Mourner's Wail will stand back idly while you... And she just shoots him, says, no, I think you'll die here, right here and now. Shoots him right in the face.
Ka-choom.
Very abrupt.
Very decisive. Very, very action-oriented.
And the guy that looks like Cliff from Doom Patrol next door says, won't the big boss be angry that you didn't wait for his approval to attack the Mourner's Wail, General Vakora? So we now know who it is,
but he won't notice. Hasn't left his tower in years, grieving all this time. Someone has to avenge the brothers and sisters we lost at Chorgod. So we obviously know who she's representing. You know, General, we have received another message from Lash with terms for her surrender. Stall her and trace the signal and ask about the other one.
Why is she dressed like Weird Harold?
What?
Yeah, she's got the thing coming over her eyes like Weird Harold from Fat Albert.
Dude. Maybe.
Tell me she doesn't look like Weird Harold.
Okay, I'll give that to you. She does look a little like Weird Harold.
Although, no, sorry. Dumb Donald. Dumb Donald.
Okay, yeah, Dumb Donald.
Dumb Donald. Weird Harold was the guy that wore mismatched socks.
Okay.
I apologize to everyone listening. Dumb Donald. That's why you were confused.
All right. And then that's where we cut back and we're back on, clearly, I think we're back on Rusan because we have our hooded figure here again. Cough, cough, cough. And, she, and you know, her hands are bandaged or, you know, and time to pack, you little womp rat. This place isn't safe anymore. Oh, that is an understatement. No. And, you know.
So, and I'm seeing it looks like
she's got her
Nakano.
It does look like Nakano Lash, but I don't think it is Nakano Lash. And the person says, "Oh, that is an understatement." Then of course she says, "No." And then, oh boy, Auntie, and here we are. We have Orris Bynar, and you know, of all the bounty hunters in the sector looking for you, remember it was Orris Bynar who found you.
So, is this isn't the kid they were supposed to be escorting, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in the least. So.
Okay. We don't know who this kid is.
The kid they were supposed to be escorting, that was in the past.
No, that's what I thought. They killed it.
Yeah, and this is in the present. So this, I think, has to do with the phone call. So this is kind of why it's a little, wait a minute. And then, of course, we go to the next page and it's, you know, Valance is getting on his ship. He's getting on his ship, you know. As much as I hated that stupid droid, he was my stupid droid. Been a long time, old friend. And it's Tonga.
Just now give me one good reason I shouldn't kill you right now. And we get it to be continued. And I'm assuming he's going to give her at least one good reason.
I'm assuming so. I mean, considering that they have solicited issue number 5.
So I really think that it's if we're supposed to know who this kid is, I don't. It wasn't very well represented. And if we're not supposed to know, I'm a little confused.
I think it's just part of the elaborate mystery box that we're having to crack open here. And
that's fine as long as we're getting these on a regular basis. But if I've got to wait, you know, 3 more months to find out who this kid is.
Well.
But yeah. The last page I really like this, like schematics basically of Bylert Valance.
Well, I hate to break it to you, bud, but you're gonna have to wait almost 2 months.
Yeah, I know.
Daisy is climbing up the wall. Daisy, hey, Nigel, go push Daisy in the butt. Yeah, you're a good boy. Thank you. Thank you for the drill. Sorry. Okay. So anyway, I hate to break it to you, but the next issue of Bounty Hunters number 4 is on August 19th. So
well,
yeah, you're going to have to wait 2 months.
Wait, I guess. Okay.
But I would like to say it was nice of them to include the this little awesome sort of breakdown of
the schematics. Yeah. Schematics of Valance. It's really cool.
It is cool. I like that a lot. That was not asked for, but I'm glad it was. I'm glad it was added. So
especially like it has a shinbone blade.
Yes.
Artificial tibia conceals Beskar forged dagger. Pressure activated and disconnected from Valance's electronic system, making the blade an effective last resort should his cyborg systems be otherwise incapacitated. Which is where he got, I'm assuming he probably got away from Bossk with that.
Exactly.
So, and the cover for the next issue, it looks straight out of Terminator. Just that image of Valance with his eye glowing is very cool. So, yeah, a lot packed into this issue. Whole lot happening. And, This is, I guess, probably midpoint of this story arc.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it all hinges if it's going to be a 5-issue story arc or a 6-issue story arc. I'm gonna guess that it's a 5-issue arc, but I could be wrong. So,
like I said, well, I guess we'll find out in October, mm-hmm. or, well, I guess we'll find out with issue 5.
Exactly.
So we will be back to talk about that when it does come out. We don't have anything for next week, any new books next week, correct?
No, we don't, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I blame myself for this.
So. Well, I blame you too.
Well, so. you should. Actually, our next new comics will be coming July 8th, and that's going to be Star Wars Adventures number 32, which is the final issue of Volume 1 of Star Wars Adventures. Other than that, let's see, we get the Clone Wars Battle Tales number 3 on July 15th. But our next new Marvel comic is July 22nd with Dr. Aphra number 2. So.
Yeah, well, we'll have something. We'll have some kind of content for you guys next week.
Definitely. Maybe a Star Wars splash page classic or a Star Wars splash page After Dark. Yeah, you want After Dark? Yeah?
Or possibly an interview. Well, maybe too. All 3.
You never know. Yeah, we'll have the Star Wars splash page interview the canine edition, and we'll just have all the dogs on the podcast.
Well, we usually do anyway. So we'll be back next week with something.
We will. I guarantee it.
So for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
And I am Matt.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook. Stop peeing!